extra needs, then we send them a check for that as well. So God's been amazingly good to us here. I'm telling you, I cannot express my gratitude to God enough. I can't. It just blows me away how faithful God has been to us. And seeing these sorts of things. And I got a report from Gali. And some of the graduates of our previous, now these kids aren't the original ones we started with. Some of the older boys in the back were little toddlers when I went over there, and they've grown up. But there are others that have gone on. And others that have been accepted into engineering courses and doctor's courses and other qualification courses that they wouldn't have had a chance to get into if God hadn't given us the opportunity to minister into their lives. And I'm just so grateful. These kids come from areas and parts of India where getting to school was even a drama. Getting clothing and food on a regular basis was just out of the question. And some of the situations that you're not aware of. Kerry went over there with a group called Free to Be Kids, and they rescued a girl, probably 5 or 6 years. No, she was older than that. She was about 8 years old, I think it was. Shelley, how old was that little girl that had the for sale sign, the one that Dad was parading around the street? Younger than that. Can you imagine what type of desperation it would take for a father to take the kid out in the street and say for sale? It's just amazing how God can do amazing things like that. And there was a couple of babies, wasn't there, that were just left from Monday to Friday or Monday to Saturday or something. The mum would cook them a pile of food and leave them there, and they would just fend for themselves at, what, 18 months old? And a newborn. A mum was going to work and the kid was left home all day by itself, you know. The work that's needed over there is incredible. But we can see now, God's doing stuff. And you know, last Sunday, really, I'm still in awe of what happened on Sunday. We were nearly going to cancel that market. We were thinking, oh, you know, it's probably, you know, going to be a long weekend, cup weekend. Who's going to be around? I was possibly going to be away. Let's close the door. We get there, we have a record sale market. And we raised $853 at the barbecue, clear. And there was over $600 clear donated in the cafe and the contributions at the front. So you are talking over $1,400. God's good. God's good. And I can't thank him enough. I really cannot thank him enough for his faithfulness and his goodness. And your work and your help and your efforts and everyone that comes along and contributes on those days is just a blessing that I can't express enough gratitude for, but God has been amazing. And I look at that picture. Garley's the guy in the middle that we liaison with, and Mel's going over to meet him shortly over Christmas or a bit after. The lady in to the left of that, or our right, and the guy at the back, over the far back, are the house parents that are in the home. And they look after the kids and prepare the meals and make sure they're all okay. It's not, quote, an orphanage now, because the Indian government have closed up and clamped down on orphanages and church school things. And we were so blessed. Gali had the wisdom to set it up differently, where we just house, clothe and provide for them physically and materially and spiritually, and they get sent to the state schools. And because of that, the government given us a clean bill of health, and other orphanages, World Vision and heaps of others all got closed down in India. Compassion went, everything. All of those places went where they were running their own schools and running their own educational services, etc., etc. The government just shut their doors. And they turned around and said, well, what you're doing is fine, you can stay open. Yes! God is amazing! Absolutely amazing. And because we did it the way we did it, and it wasn't anything we did, it was just God's wisdom in the beginning that knew what was coming up. And we just said, Lord, let's follow you. You know, following and carrying the name of Jesus is so important. Sometimes we look at man's standards, and even the church is getting carried away with some of man's standards. And it's easy to get caught up in it. People are saying, oh, we've got to have a spirit of excellence. And the spirit of excellence a lot of churches are aiming for has to do with the stage presentation, the singing, the performance, the musical. Everything has to be, you know, pattern perfect. And Mel and Kerry are even better than any of them. No, we don't need perfection from that sort of a standard. We need hearts that are perfect. Amen? And we're not looking at the music show and the sound and the lighting and the presentation. The preacher, thank God, his message or his articulation, because my articulation is pretty ochre. And I'm not one of these, you know, fancy words guys too much. I know a few big words, probably got one or two syllables. But, you know, we really have to have a heart before God. So we've got to get away. Carrying God's name is not a standard of excellence that's set by the world. Amen? It's a standard of excellence set by God, and we've got to look at that. I want to talk about have I jumped a page there or not? No? All right, well, that's good. I'm going into the story of the prodigal son. This prodigal son decided he wanted the world standard of excellence in his life. So he went to his dad, and he goes, Dad, give me my share of the spoils and the house and the farm and the goods and the money. I'm out of here. I want to go out there in the world, and I want to be somebody. And off he went. And we know the story of the prodigal son. He squandered his living. He squandered all he had. A drought and a famine hit the land, and all of a sudden he ends up, the only job he could get was living in a pig pen feeding pigs. And after a little while, he sits in that position, and he comes to his senses, and he says, how many of my father's servants are better off than I am? And he goes through the state and the condition and the situation that he's in, feeling pretty sorry for himself, pretty remorseful of the things he'd done. And he makes up his mind. He makes a quality decision to do something about it. He says, I will go, get up, and I will go back to my father. And he got back, and his heart had a prepared scenario. He said, I will come to my father, and I say, Father, I've sinned before you and before God. Please accept me back. Make me as one of your hired servants. I'm willing to come back and just do anything, and as long as you just let me come back home again. And his response was interesting. Can we go back? Oh, I think there's the son's response should be on one of those. Ray, have I lost it somewhere? I thought it was just before that. It qualified the son. What qualified the son? There we go. Is that before it or after? Have I messed it up? Sorry, had him back to front. So what qualified the son? Firstly, it was definitely coming home. Making a decision to come to the right place. The remorse that he felt while he was in the pig pen just wasn't enough. And a lot of people sometimes have a heart of remorse or feeling guilty for the things they've done. And they feel sorry and they have that sort of thing. But this guy had a heart of repentance. That he had sinned before God. He was aware of it. Not like when Masha was interesting, he brought up the Pharisee. You know, I've been a good bloke and I thank God I don't do what Mash does and other people, but, you know, I'm here. He was quite proud of the fact that he was a, you know, in the eyes of man, he had a standard or a spirit of excellence on man's standards. But then this guy who thought he was nothing comes before God and he says, forgive me. God, be merciful to me. And this young man had a heart of repentance, a real heart of repentance. He came to his senses. He took upon himself a heart and a spirit of humility, and he was willing to surrender to his father. That qualified him. Go back, sorry, Rake, to the father. The father's response was amazing. Now we're up the other way. Sorry, the one before. Yeah, the father was amazing. The father saw the son coming afar off. I guess he was probably watching and waiting for the day the son would come home. It doesn't mention that. But he saw the son afar off. He saw him a long way away. He saw him before he even saw the father. And sometimes we don't recognize it, but God's watching us. And he sees the workings in our lives that are drawing him back to God, drawing us back to God. And he sees us. He knows us. He's acquainted with all of our ways. Never be afraid to come back to God if we fupa or mess up, because God is looking at us and waiting for us to come constantly. Amen? And that's what we've got to remember. Don't, when we make mistakes, don't run from God, run to God. So the father saw him coming and met him, and he welcomed him. And you know one thing that the father never did, and this is the amazing thing about God, and I want you to remember this with every fiber in your being. Your sins and your iniquities I will remember, and get every chance I can to point the finger at you. No, God doesn't say that. I will remember no more. No more. Now, I was brought up thinking that one day I would meet God, and God would say, well, why did you do this, and why did you do that, and why did you do the other? And God had a big video screen and was going to play my life out in front of everybody, and I would feel like the village idiot because of the things I'd done, and everybody finally knew about it. Not so. God is never, ever, ever, ever going to point the finger at us and shame us and make known all of our little mystery things. Once we've come to him in repentance, he says, you're cleansed, washed in the blood of the Lamb. That blood is so perfect in its cleansing, God can't even remember the things that we were before we came to him. Understand that. You get born again. Little baby was there a minute ago, but Chloe's taken her out. But you know, when a baby's born, a baby has that incredible innocence of a new birth and a new life. And the history begins on that baby's birthday of that child's life. And then you can turn around and say, oh, when the child was a month old and 2 months old and a year and 2 years, you've got a history to follow. And you can look back. And you can see the things a kid's done, both good and bad. And you've got a history of a child's life. But that God said to us, you must be born again. Why? Because he says there's going to be a new history and the old stuff's going to be written off. There's a new history. And we come to him, we are born again with a whole brand new page and a brand new life. And God says, as far as the east is from the west, thank God he didn't say north to south, because I can define north and I can define south. When I go north, I know when I'm hitting the peak and I can go south again. And you know where you're at with north to south. But with east to west, as far as you keep going east, it's still east. And as far as you keep going west, it's still west. There is no definition of an end of that one or that one. And it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. The only problem we've got is a memory bank up here that keeps playing games on us and playing rewinds. We've got to take authority over that. And in the name of Jesus, that's the person I was. I'm no longer that person anymore. I know I made mistakes, but I'm under the blood of the Lamb, safe and secure from the enemy's plan. No weapon formed against me will stand. I'm now under the blood of the Lamb. What I was is no bearing on who I am today. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Old things have become new. Don't you dare tempt me, Satan, with anything that I used to be, because that's not the person I am today. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I stand in his righteousness, whole, accepted, righteous, and beloved. Whoa! Ooh. Get excited! That's our God, amen? Oh, I tell you, he's a God who looks after us. But you know something? Father, here, never pointed the finger. Never told him he was enough for running off with all the stuff and spending it and wasting it. No, he just said, come on home. Glory to God. Isn't that good? Now, if a father can do that, how much more will our God? And you know what he gave him? He said, get a new robe. He didn't say, go find something that fits this guy. He didn't say, go get something out of the closet that'll fit him. He said, get him a new robe. Whoa. I don't, you know, my robes won't fit you and your robes won't fit me. God's got them specific for each one of us. And he puts a new robe on us. It identifies us. Amen. We have all been given a robe of righteousness. And God doesn't take Mel's and say, oh, that'll fit you and yours won't fit. No. It's all ours. Get a new robe and put it on him. And he says, and get a ring and put it on his finger. And put new shoes on his feet. Man, he was wanting to make sure this guy was taken care of. And it fully took. And he threw a party for him as well. What an amazing scenario this father had for a returning son. Now, I'm talking about all of this to bring up another point on carrying the name of Jesus. Carrying that name and the responsibility that God has given us in identifying with him and him identifying with us. Because this father did the same thing. Let's move. The clothes and the ring defined and identified him to everyone. What he was wearing was a household identity. That ring was a household authority. And he could go to any place in that country and show that ring, and they would go, whoa, you're Rake's son, not messing with you. That's the way. But we have a ring of God's righteousness. You're God's son. Man, I'm not messing with you. Why do we let the devil muck around with our lives? Stand up with what the authority God's given us in our lives. The minute we start to flash the ring of God's authority in our lives that God's given us, boy, I tell you what, carries a clout. It really does. We've got to learn what that is in Jesus' name. Our robe of righteousness. The shoes protected his walk. Yeah. Why do we need that? No stumbling, no fumbling, no rough riding on the rough ground. God wants to ensure that our lives are hidden securely and safely in him. And he's given us the capacity to do it. And look what this father did. He gets his son completely into a position of where he's identified fully with the household. Isn't that amazing? I think it's incredible. It was then evident that he represented the father. He belonged to and he represented that home. He carried his father's name, authority, and responsibility. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that amazing? I think that story, the prodigal son's always been taught from a sense of, you know, God will always welcome you home. I got blown away when God opened this up to me this week when I'm looking at it and I'm seeing that God is wanting not just to identify with us, but he wants us to identify with him. He wants to impart his life to us, his identity with us. He wants us to carry that identity and he wants to be proud of us carrying that identity. Amen? Whoa! And the fact that he even threw the guy a party wasn't just to give him a welcome home party. It was to say, this is my son who was lost and is found, was dead and is alive. And he declared it to everybody. Everyone in the region knew that the father was proud to have his son home. Whoa. I tell you, and God wasn't just so happy about his return. He fully identified with him by giving him the robe, the ring, and the shoes. And God does that for us. If you look in the scripture, he clothes us with a robe of righteousness. He gives us the shoes of the gospel of peace prepared. The armor of God is what he clothes us in. And he says, I'm identifying with you, and I want you to identify with me. Carry my name. Carry my identity. Wow. And God provides for us, protects us. And he's there for us at every opportunity. I think God is so amazing. You know, this is all made possible. I wish I'd done communion after I preached because, Mash, you stole most of my thunder. But the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ being shed for us at the cross was pretty amazing. It was an incredible feat. But then when Jesus rose from the dead, did you notice that he met Mary in the garden? And he said, don't touch me, Mary. I've not yet ascended to my God and your God. He wouldn't let Mary touch him. But then in Hebrews, it tells us that he entered into the holiest of holies in the heavenlies with his own blood and presented his blood at the mercy seat of the Father in heaven. And that blood did not congeal, that blood didn't dry up, and that blood didn't go stale. That blood avails forever. That blood of the Lord Jesus is a perpetual reminder in front of our Father God of the throne of heaven that it avails forever. Amen. And because that blood was presented to the Father, what Paul wrote in the scriptures was then brought into effect. He became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and gave him a name which is above every other name, that at that name, Jesus, every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And you know, because of what the Lord Jesus did in faithfully going through that cross process and raising from the dead and presenting his blood to the Father, that name has been given to us. Without that, we could call out in Jesus' name left, right, and center, have no effect. But because Jesus did what he did, that name has every power and authority in our lives and available to us. And we need to learn that. We don't just call out in the name of Jesus and 10-10 over and out in a prayer. I said that before. It's a name that carries power and authority. Be careful how you use it. You might find things happen you don't want to happen. Not really. But we need to be assured that God has given us an amazing opportunity, not just to represent him, not just to declare him, not just to praise him and worship him, not just to be his children, but to be ambassadors of a king of a kingdom that has got God's heart and soul fully entwined in it. He is proud to represent us. He is proud to embrace us. He's proud to own us. He has put a robe on us. He's put a ring on our finger. He's put shoes on our feet and corrected our walk. And he's identified with us fully. Amen? And we can identify with him. Carrying his name is a privilege. I think we all need to learn what it really is to take that name Jesus in its fullness. And it's not just the fact that we're running around Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. No, we're not just nuff-nuffs. We are carrying it in who we are by our demeanor, our persona, our lifestyle, our habit patterns. And I'm telling you, if any of them don't represent Christ, get rid of them. Wake up to yourself. Be like the prodigal. What are you living in a pig pen for when everyone in the Father's household has got more than enough? Get out of the pig pen. Come to your senses. Come home to the Father in every way. And I know as a Christian, we still have pig pen parts of our lives. We've got to deal with them. I've still got a few I want to deal with. But they're there. They're parts of me because I'm still frail in my humanity. And as Paul said, the things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I do. But thank God I've been delivered from this body of death through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It gives us that overcoming capacity. And the Bible tells us in Revelation 3:20, him that overcomes will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he'll never get drawn out, and he shall be a, whatever it's got to hear, he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city or dwelling of my God. I'm telling you what, God's got a stamp there with his name. That's our name. Amen. He shall go no more out. We need to be working towards this overcoming scenario to carry that name in its fullness. Carry the name, carry it proudly. Identify with him because he has identified with us. I don't know if I could, I haven't actually prepared this, Ray. Is that telephone still turned on to your right-hand side there? Was it gone off, so I've got to code it in again? Give me 1 second. We're going to play a song that has been around for years.
And if it's
because I don't know any new ones. But I'd love you to listen to this. The words of it are those first three pages of that presentation.
Sometimes the shops freeze them first. So what if they've been frozen?
That name, Jesus. Thank God there is power in that name. And here's why. Jesus got his name three ways. One, by inheritance. Two, it was bestowed upon him by our Father God. And three, by conquest. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And that's why there's power in that name, Jesus. He acquired his name by inheritance, divinely begotten of love. His name was bestowed upon him from the heart of our Father God. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them.
I love this chorus now. It's got so much punch in it.
Demons are helpless at the sound of that name, 'cause they still remember Jesus put them to shame. All hell just trembles, for they must obey, and heaven stands at attention when I mention that name. God has given him a name above every name, and he's seated at the Father's right hand. Jesus gave us the key to pray effectually, and the use of that name to command. With the court of high heaven watching over me, in the presence of God I can stand. Jesus gave me authority to pray in that name. Since I,
come on, if you want to sing the chorus with me, get up. Demons are helpless. It's such a powerful song. Come on, just try and sing it along with
us. Demons are helpless at the sound of that name, 'cause they still remember Jesus put them to shame. All hell just trembles, for they must obey. Heaven stands at attention when I mention that name. And heaven stands at attention when I mention that name.
Take a look at those words, will you? Demons are helpless. the sound of that name. I've heard Christians say to me over the years, oh, the devil's been on my back this week. Why? It's supposed to be under your feet. Use that name, Jesus. Carry that name, Jesus. Fight every battle in the name of Jesus. Take that name, Jesus, with you and put it into powerful practice. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and in the name of Jesus, quote the Scriptures. And I'm telling you, circumstances give way in Jesus' name. They still remember Jesus put them to shame. All hell just trembles, for they must obey. And do you know something? When you say that name, Jesus, when you have the right, the authority, the robe of righteousness, the ring of authority, and the shoes of the gospel, that you are walking in the way God wants you to, every time you say that name, Jesus, every angel within the sound of your voice will stand to attention and say, who said that? What does he want? And where do we go from here? You've got heaven on your side, amen? Amen. I'm telling you, we need to remember that. Father, I pray this word will permeate our lives in such a powerful way. Take it, Lord, I pray, and put it into the soil of our hearts so that it brings forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold, that we, Lord God, will be your ambassadors in power, in authority, in practice, and in life, and in every way, Lord God, you would shine through us as you identify with us and we identify with you. Thank you for your word in Jesus' name. Amen. We've got a couple of minutes. Does anyone now want to give a testimony? Has anyone got to glorify God with anything that has happened in... Just hang on. Come on, they're rushing me. Come on, you're on. Come on, Fritz. Come on, man. Come on, tell us what God's done. We got to... Here.
Well, I'm a senior school teacher at Heathrow Christian College, and... I was the year 12 coordinator this past year. And in my capacity as coordinator, every Friday morning I have a year level assembly. And rather than focusing on little petty management issues that most coordinators do, I've just trusted the Lord from the start with this group that I'm going to speak his word, and I'm going to challenge them with a word every time. And My meetings were 80 to 90% just ministering the word to them and trusting and asking people to pray with me and trusting God that those kids that know him, because we had a core of kids that knew the Lord, would know him more intimately, and those that don't know him would be drawn closer to him. We even had Muslim kids in our group, three of them, and I always just said, God, I can't do nothing. I can't do anything without you. And I'm just trusting you to anoint me for my task. And if there's no anointing, then I may as well just ask somebody to read something to them. And after one of the last devotions that I shared with them, a Muslim girl came to me and she said, you know, sir, I was really touched by what you said this morning. And the last, when we had our valedictory dinner just over a week ago, I think it's the most, I've been there 10 and a half years now, and it's the most emotional one that there's ever been. And just to hear the kids testify how God has been good and how God has drawn them together as a group. And all the teachers, quite a few teachers, one guy's been there for 24 years, and he said, it was just the best final assembly that he's ever seen. And I just give God the glory. And the other week in our morning devotions, one of the staff members had to share out of John 6. And my mind was taken back to many years ago when I just came to the Lord. And we watched the video of Reinhard Bonnke at the fire conference in Harare, and he spoke about Jesus feeding the crowd. And if we really think about it, Jesus didn't hand up loads of food. He handed out little bits into each disciple's hand. He used each and every one of them. Judas was a thief, And I still remember the way that Reinhard presented it. Peter being this old guy, and he says, imagine receiving a bit of fish and bread in your hand, and you're looking around, and in the front row is this huge, hungry guy. And you've got to go and feed him. And as they start handing out the food, it just, God just multiplied it in the disciples' hands. And we just need to be willing to hand out what God has put in our hands, just to be the vessel that he can use to his glory. Thanks. I can just give God the glory.
Good morning, family. I just want to thank God for his goodness, for his ever continuing changing, renewing of us, of me. None of you know me before I came here. I did see Mel and I think it was Ken a few years ago up at Teen Challenge one night. They did a visit up there when I was a student in Teen Challenge. But also, one of my sons has got an ugly frame on his arm. That's been there for about 4 months now, and he's still got another month and a half approximate to go. But the change that frame, which is the reason for it, has wrought within his wrist is amazing. It's approximately 45 degree angle, change of angle on a bone in his wrist. I won't go into all the in-depth reason for it, but something happened in the womb with his twin brother. Whether his twin brother was involved, it doesn't matter. It happened. Something happened to the bone, got very severely damaged on one part. 12 years later, the bone has grown to a point where it's deformed his wrist. Can't use the wrist properly, can't use his arm. But through God's inspiration and direction, the surgeon and a group of nurses and other doctors have been able to change what grew over a period of time. There's things in my life that have grown over a period of time, and he's changing what I was like 6-7 years ago. I'm amazed that I'm here. People think that what's on Tyson's arm is ugly, it's bad, and everything negative. There's nothing negative about what's on his arm. Just like the guy, the prodigal son, he had to go to a point of growth where he came back from. Being in the pigsty was his best day in life, because he realized what he gave up, if I can say that. He had an eternally best day coming, but being down that, in that point, and I've been there, just to put it lightly, I've also looked at jumping off the cliff. That's how close. And that's where I've come from. And things that are happening in my life at the moment, I can't explain apart from God's grace and provision. I was looking at getting back into doing some fencing when I came down here. Didn't really work out. We did a couple. God provided. God made a way. But then he opened another door, and I've really not had to look for that work. The provision that's coming through that is just, some weekends I'm, where did that come from? yes, I've had to do some stuff, but God still is opening that door. And I'm getting to be involved with some people that last night I wanted to speak to somebody so strong, but I thought, I can't. And yet, God, he's pushing me into areas that I'm saying no, but he's saying yes. So just whatever you're going through, don't see it. And people don't see what's going on in your life. You do. Don't look at it as though it's dirty, grubby, filthy. Look at it as this is an opportunity for growth, for newness. Yeah, I'm sure we all have had that pigsty experience. I'm not saying celebrate that particular moment, but at least acknowledge and say, I'm okay. I can get, only in the strength and grace and provision of God can we get out of that pigsty. I haven't gotten out of my pigsty through my own effort. Tyson, and the opportunity that is coming for him with hopefully a larger usability of his arm will open up a whole range of opportunity for him. Yes, he's still got to do work, but the work that other people have done on his behalf, and mine, and Ken's, and Mel's, and Matt, it's all God's provision to us.
And I'm not sure if you're fully aware, but, you know, like, when the situation rose and we knew Tyson had to go and get this thing put on his arm, we took that before the throne of grace in prayer. And I remember praying here one Wednesday night at the prayer meeting and just surrendering his life to God and saying, Lord, the doctors have some amazing skills and they also have some incredible knowledge, but it's far surpassed by what you know and what you have. And so we want you to guide it, please, Lord. We want you, Lord, to take in the situation fully. And it's what we have to do in carrying the name Jesus. And then just quickly finish with this. I'm going to give more opportunity for testimonies down the track. More and more frequently. I believe we need to be able to express our praise to God more. But let me just say this. I remember going into the heart surgeon the first time when I had to have Hope and Heart. And the guy had glasses that made Coke bottles look small. And I'm thinking, this guy's going to operate on my heart? You know, he can't even see. And these little dots that were his eyes behind these glasses scared me. But you know something? Then people said to me, he's the best in the country. And I said, well, I don't care how good he is. And I went in there, I said, you are not touching me until I've prayed for every person in this room before we begin. He went, looked at me funny, and I said, there's no chance. No one, you're laying a hand on me or putting a knife in my chest until I've given the situation over to the Lord Jesus. He's my surgeon. He's my physician. And he's the one you're going to have to answer to and depend on during this whole procedure. And it was amazing how it all worked out. But we've got to stand up for who God is in our lives. Amen? And I don't care how good the doctors were, and I was in their area, but I just said, you all get stand back, because my God needs to be taken in preeminence first. We pray. And they think I'm silly, but I know I'm smart. I've got to be wise in the Lord. Amen? That's just pretty awesome. I know there's others here that have put their hands up. I'm sorry. It's called the 12. And I will make opportunity for everyone to give a chance to share. But let's be prepared to express our praise and identifying with God in more and more of what we are, say, and do. Amen? Yeah. Yeah, so sorry to cut those off that wanted to. There's three or four others that wanted to jump up. Sorry about that, but we will give you a chance over the next little while. And you can share one-on-one outside, all right? God bless you so much. And there's a prayer meeting, by the way, is now Tuesday night. Don't turn up Wednesday. You'll be out in the cold. Tuesday nights now at 7:30, we're here praying, okay? And that's subject to change, but that's the way it is. It's indefinite at the moment. On Tuesday evenings, prayer meeting is here. And I know there's people having weekends off next weekend. God bless you. Have an awesome time. Carry that name wherever you go, because God will open doors for you to use it. So God bless you all.